Blog Talk Radio.
And tonight, I am on the line with author Sandra Hall. And author Sandra Hall is like an unknown secret to me because I discovered her on one of the pages. And I noticed she had a Western, an African-American Western book. And I am just so excited. I never even knew they existed. And to find out, she has a book one, and I think she has a book two getting ready to come out, and she has so many other books. I was, like, so happy to discover her. You know I'm going to ask her to be on the show again. Hello, author Sandra Hall.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Amazing tonight. I'm so excited.
Thank you. I am so excited. I just want to let the audience know, as I said before, you have an African-American, like, Western book.
Mm-hmm.
Once an Outlaw, the Outlaw book number one. So
mm-hmm.
once you tell us it's the Outlaw book number one, we know two or maybe three or four are coming out. And this is like an old-fashioned Western, but the characters are of color.
You're right. Yeah.
I mean, once I discovered you had this book, I'm looking at Amazon now. I bought it in May.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long I was trying to get you here.
Really?
I was like, yes. I was like, oh, my goodness. I have to reach out to this author. I have to get him on my show. I was just, like, so excited. Now, tell me, what made you decide to write a book, a Western?
I love Westerns, number one. Growing up, I always watched Gunsmoke. That was one of my favorite Westerns on television.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another Western movie that was just my all-time favorite, and it just always stuck with me, Once Upon a Time in the West. That
mm-hmm.
movie was the ultimate Western to me. And
mm-hmm.
When I think about stories, I'm often thinking about certain things in Once Upon a Time in the West. And I just wanted to write one. I wanted to have this woman, you know, who was strong, who could do whatever she wanted to do. Didn't necessarily need a man's help, but it's always nice to have a man, of course. And
mm-hmm.
I just thought that we need to be represented in history more than what we have been, you know.
Exactly.
I've heard a lot of people say that we didn't have any part in the Old West, which is really false. Because
mm-hmm.
when you think about, they say one in three of the cowboys back in the Old West was either black, Mexican, or Asian. you know.
Right.
So people of color have always represented, but we're not seeing it or reading about it, you know.
No.
And, you know, I mean, you read about it in history books or whatever, but you never really get, you know, fictionalized story, you know, full of imagination, you know, biggest life, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very rare that these kind of books are written. And so I just wanted
mm-hmm.
to do it. You know, it's always in my mind, so that's what I write.
In New York, we have the Black Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And they are here on the border of Brooklyn and Queens. And I kind of, like, know them because they have the best, like, soil.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them deliver a topsoil to my yard when we needed it because they have the horse manure in the
mm-hmm.
soil. And I've also gone to see them. They give, like, used to give a lot of shows. They're older now, and I don't see, like, their sons taking over the business.
Right.
But when I was younger, I went to see a couple of their shows, and they tell about the history
mm-hmm.
of the cowboys in New York.
Right.
And that most of the cowboys from, a lot of the cowboys were in New York. Like, they are not, you know, there's a lot of cowboys all over, but there were cowboys right here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great piece of property that they have, and they give horseback riding and everything. And, you know, of course, people try to buy the land from them and try to do
mm-hmm.
kinds of things to discourage them, try to get them out and stuff like that. But that's history there. So
exactly.
When I'm reading your story and I'm reading about Kane, I'm reading about Veronica, I'm reading about Janice. I like her.
Mm-hmm. You don't like
and
her. Okay.
And you're reading about these characters, you're like, wow, these are characters who are in the Old West, and they're not in the Old West, really, because they're on the borders of Texas, and they are regular people with regular
mm-hmm.
lives,
mm-hmm.
and they're just doing their thing.
Exactly. You know, and see, that's one of the things that I wanted to write about is that black life wasn't full of drudgery and being afraid of what someone else is going to do to you. Black people were doing their own things in their own communities. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, you heard of Nicodemus and Redwood and all, Rosewood and all that. You know, Nicodemus is still standing. You know, I mean, it's a dying community, but it's still there. You know,
mm-hmm.
all all of our communities were not destroyed. You know,
exactly.
You know, and so, and that's one thing about Gingerville is that I'm not sure which direction I'm going to take it in upcoming books. You know, whether they're going to thrive or they're going to be destroyed or whatever. But whatever it is, it's all about those men and women who are doing what they want to do on their own terms, as opposed
mm-hmm.
to saying what someone else can tell you what to do, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and then, you know, you have a little adventure and a little romance, you know, so, yeah.
We have adventure, we have romance. I feel there's so much to Veronica that we don't know yet.
Right.
And I can't wait to discover her.
Mm-hmm.
We have, number one, the romance starts on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know we notice each other. She notices that, you know, he doesn't even take off his gun to sleep.
Right.
That he must be a gunman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he helps her out. But, you know, you have to be cautious, too. And I like it that you don't make her some, like, little floozy who's like, you know, oh, I'm just so gentle. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's a regular tough woman,
mm-hmm.
and she's doing her thing, and she shows him, you know, I'm not some airhead.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brain, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I have some wits about me. And you
yes.
show us her,
mm-hmm.
you show us her toughness when they're accosted on the road. So not only do you give us like this little story, you also show us how dangerous it was in those days. Mm-hmm. Be on
a
the
woman,
road.
Right, a woman alone. See, that shows,
mm-hmm.
I figured she traveled pretty much halfway across the country just to get to that settlement, to get a job, you see.
Right.
Most women, you know, in whatever time or place, they would travel in a group or whatever, but she got on that train, you know, regardless of Jim Crow and all that, she got on that train, you know, that was full of, you know, manure, but she got on that train and she went, you know. And I just thought that was kind mm-hmm. of character building for when you first met her. And I was hoping, you know, that she's a woman, you know, every aspect of a woman that has to do what she has to do to survive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you say, you know, you say there in the book how she is trying, not only is she trying to survive, he says to her, you know, don't you want to wash off? And she's like, yeah, but I'm not going to get naked in front of a bunch of strangers.
Right.
Just to wash off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll just stay dirty. And he was like, well, you're going to smell, you know, like cows.
Yeah.
She was like, it's all right. It's all right, because I'm not going to lose my dignity and my pride. My dignity. Now I can't even say the word. Dignity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lose myself and my pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to still keep my pride, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bathe in front of a bunch of people just so I don't stink.
Right.
And she showed that, you know, I can still survive. She goes,
mm-hmm.
she finds the group she's supposed to meet, she does what she has to do. And that's what I liked about her strong character, because you could have had her like so many different things. She could have been weak and helpless and all this kind of stuff, but she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. When, you know, did you
do any research for this book?
Like when the station where she refused to bathe in, there were stations like that.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there, if you want to take a bath, you would take the bath, you know, because the station would be mainly one room. If you wanted a private room, you had to really pay for it. And, you know, a lot of people, they bathed in the open, you know, or had someone holding a sheet,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. You know, just little things that that's one of the things that I ran across. And I said, well, that would be interesting, you know. You know, cause I was saying to myself, people probably say, well, gee, why are they taking baths in the open? That's how they did it. Or you had to pay a good penny to get a private room, you know.
Not only that, you have to think the water had to be heated.
Mm-hmm.
The water, and they weren't in a tub. They were like in those big barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure this is how it was.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, she was a person of color. Let's not
mm-hmm.
forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And this
was after the migration. You know, everyone was leaving the South, going westward, because that's what all
yes.
the open territory was.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you had a better choice for land, for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
She was
because
a teacher.
And that was one of the reasons why a lot of these settlements occurred, because the land was open, no one had it yet, so you could go in and get what you wanted, you know,
exactly.
and manage to keep it, you know, like Nicodemus, for instance, you know, they managed to keep their property. And then, like,
mm-hmm.
there were some places where the land became, you know, prime land, and they were forced out or whatever. But, you had to know the history somewhat to create that environment, I mean, that community, you know. I mean, it didn't
mm-hmm.
happen everywhere, but it happened, you know, it sprouted up here, it sprouted up there, that there were several places where, you know, black people for a while were actually, you know, like, for instance, there weren't very many white women who ventured out with their men at first. The men would go first.
And the women would come after.
and the women would come later, or else they would choose the local people, which were Native Americans or black women.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that was happening a lot also, the mixed marriages, mm-hmm, for a while. And it just elements of those kind of things that, you know, like somebody asked me, well, I didn't know you wrote an interracial romance. I said it wasn't an interracial romance. It just happened that a black and a white person got together because that's who they chose. That's who they were living among at the time before things, mm-hmm, changed. So yeah. So I was trying to, you know, make it seem as real, you know, as realistic as I could, as well as, you know, picking out my, things I wanted, to make up. But
right.
I wanted to keep things kind of, since it's a historical piece, I wanted it to be actually historical, you know what I mean? Rather than just making up everything where it's kind of unbelievable, you know.
Well, we have to remember, back then is when they had the saloons and when they had the bars and they,
mm-hmm,
had the prostitutes and everything. And they also had the dormitories, like you said, for brides.
Mm-hmm.
And those were single women who came out there and stayed in these dormitories or stayed in these hotels or boarding houses and stuff, looking for the men who went out there to work on the mines,
mm-hmm,
the men who went to work on the trains and stuff like that. And,
mm-hmm,
a lot of those men, that's who they married.
Mm-hmm.
The women from the bar, the women who were out there working, they,
mm-hmm,
married anybody who was out there because after a while you get lonely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
And you want to have a family, and these women are out there, and the reason why they're out there, yes, in the beginning, some of them might be out there for money and,
mm-hmm,
you know, to charge men and stuff. But after a while, they start getting older, that old customer,
mm-hmm,
starts looking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you notice that they, you know, that a lot of them went out there for the gold, the money,
mm-hmm,
and all that,
mm-hmm,
kind of stuff, and you start saying to yourself, he ain't half bad.
Right.
So, yes, you do have some history here. When I saw the dormitory for the brides, I laughed because that's what they were there for.
Mm-hmm.
Women who,
exactly,
lived out there hoping to find a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had people like Janice, who didn't,
yes,
fit the mold, so she didn't get a husband. And,
right,
And so she ends up having to, look at it, an older man and then
mm-hmm,
this younger white guy, So.
Yes. And that's the thing that I was going to bring up, that Janice, because she was the huntress, and I love,
mm-hmm,
that Veronica didn't demean her like everybody else did.
Excuse me?
Well, you can't go out drinking like Janice.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go out acting like her. She was dressed like with old clothes on and everything. But,
mm-hmm,
she cleaned up well.
Mhm. I mean, she
and
was
when
just
that
such...
older guy started showing her attention, she was just like, hey, I,
mm-hmm,
am beautiful. When she went to talk to Veronica, she said she felt like a woman.
Mhm.
Because Janice, for the audience, I want to let them know, she was a hunter, fisher. She went out and killed wild game and sold it,
mm-hmm,
to people for their dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, picked fish and stuff. I mean, fished.
Right.
So she smelled. When she walked into Veronica's school, she said she smelled like fish.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this woman who knows how to survive, but she's not dainty.
Right.
She's not like the other brides in the dormitory. She's not dainty. She's not walking around, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
She's making a living.
Mm-hmm.
And when she goes to town, they don't see her as the old Janice that's looking like a, dressed like a man, hunting. They,
mm-hmm,
see a big, tall, because you made her very tall,
mm-hmm,
and very strong looking.
Mm-hmm.
Woman.
Right.
So when she gets a little drink of wine, she starts acting very ladylike.
Exactly.
How can you not fall in love with her? Yeah. And you go to show us, you show us also that you don't have to look a certain way to attract men.
Mm-hmm.
You can look any way, and man, a man is still going to be attracted to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, unless he's just that superficial type of a man, you know. A man
mm-hmm.
who looks at you and sees you, see, and that's one of the things I like about my characters is that they know what kind of a woman, like for instance, Janice knows she's not, like you say, Danny and all that, and she at first thought no man was in that community would want her. But then
yes.
what, two strangers occurred, and suddenly, you know,
mm-hmm.
she had a choice.
They were practically
yeah.
fighting over her.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now more of that is in book two, Heart of an Outlaw. So.
Now, let's talk about the main character, Kane.
Okay.
Kane is a gunslinger, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I, too, watched Bonanza,
mm-hmm.
The Rifleman,
mm-hmm.
all the old Westerns. My stepfather was a Western fan. And I used to watch all of them. And we even watched, Bonanza, The Rifleman, Gunslinger. We watched all of them.
Mm-hmm.
We were big John Wayne fans when he did all those Western movies. And it wasn't until I got older that I found out that he was very prejudiced. And it's
mm-hmm.
not till you get older that you notice they have people that are not a Native American playing Native American parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Sometimes I say, don't watch the old shows with the new mind. Just
mm-hmm.
enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Because when you start watching it with the educated mind, you get annoyed.
Yeah.
Because you say to yourself, how can you tell me there was no Native Americans to play in this movie?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
There was none,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you start seeing these characters and you say to yourself, okay, this
I'm
is
the
not
same.
Right.
I got you.
Okay, this is prejudice, you know. So when you watch the shows, you think differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I also watch the old shows with Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yeah, what was
they
that?
They did three or four Westerns.
What was the name of that? Buck
the one
the
with
preacher.
The nuns? Buck and the Preacher.
Yeah.
And
Don't
they did another
Belafonte.
One, too. Yeah,
what
Harry Belafonte. They did another one with nuns. Was Buck and the Preacher with the nuns?
I don't even know, so I'm not going to. I don't remember.
Yeah. I should have looked this up before the show. But I watched those two, and those were so different because
mm-hmm.
they said that the money that they made for those movies was nothing. It was pennies
mm-hmm. yeah.
compared to their non-colored actors with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have to watch it, and we just have to thank God that they had those parts at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
So we have Kane, who is a dark man,
mm-hmm.
who is a gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professional gunslinger, and that's what he's hired to do because he shoots very well. And because
Right. Well, actually, I want to clarify. He's not, okay, he shoots very well. He's an outlaw, and he does get hired, but he's not really a gunslinger where he just goes shooting people. It's not usually his choice.
Okay.
He's very skilled, and for instance, when he is on a job or whatever, he makes sure not
mm-hmm.
to try to kill anybody. Like, he can put his bullet wherever he wants to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to make it clear that he's not a thug.
No,
he's you
not
know
a
what I'm
killer.
Saying? Right.
He's not
you
a
know?
Killer.
I mean, he'll kill you if you have to, you know.
But he's a hired
gun. He's not going to go out there and just... You know, just because he's robbing a bank, he's not going to shoot to kill you, you know. So I want him to have, to me, a redeeming quality in order to be a lovable human being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I want to say he's an outlaw,
like
your
book
said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he robs banks and all that.
Rob Spinks,
mm-hmm.
and
Russell Cattle.
He hooks up with, for money,
mm-hmm.
but he also says, let's not kill nobody on this job.
Right.
And he tells the other people in his posse or in his group and his gang, we're going to try to go in here. We're not going to try to kill anybody. We're going to
mm-hmm.
just try to take the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he questions a friend when he says, is love more important than the game?
Mm-hmm.
Because his friend says, I found love.
Mm-hmm.
I found Daisy. And he goes, when you found Daisy, how was the game? And he says, well, once I found Daisy, all I wanted to do and all I thought about was Daisy. So
mm-hmm.
even when I was out doing other things, I thought about her.
Mm-hmm.
And it made him think about Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't stop thinking about her
mm-hmm.
since the train ride.
Right.
Now you have Veronica be like a 2016 woman because she approaches him in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does she approach him, she lets him kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And we know back in those days that was not happening.
Well, now.
Well, it probably was because, you know, people were doing it then too. But she let him kiss her, and I love when he says to her, can I come and see you? And she says, mm-hmm. is it for kisses? Because if it's for kisses, you can get that right here.
Right.
You don't have to drive all that way to come see me just for a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm right here. And he goes, no, it's going to be for something little more. Because she has held a place in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this romance comes in the middle of this bank robbing, jealousy,
mm-hmm.
gun, gang war
mm-hmm.
with different groups goes on.
Yeah.
We still have different pockets of romance here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have Mark and I slipped my name, Florence.
Franny.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Franny.
And
uh-huh.
that was kind of like you wanted Franny to just get away. But Franny wasn't a fearless woman either
mm-hmm.
because she surely told Willie, she said, I want to be a manager at this bank, at this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Your family owes me. I want what I want.
Right.
I mean, she left in the beginning because she said, I'm going to walk away from love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to quote the song here. I'm going to walk away from love before love tears me apart.
Right.
And she came back because she was like, I'm not running.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to face it. I'm going to let him know how I feel. This is where my life is. Why should I run away and start somewhere else new?
Mm-hmm.
The women in your book are not weak women. Did you, you told us you wanted to show that women were strong.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I love it.
You have to be, you know, especially, again, these women, they did not have men to depend on. The only
mm-hmm.
woman in the book, what's her name, Myrna, she had a husband, okay?
Right.
Now, she was more like a motherly figure, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm going to explore more of her in part two, as opposed to the younger ladies. But see, she's kind of from another
yeah.
generation, you know. As the
right.
other women, and also the women who don't have men of their own, you know, and the things that they do, and yeah, in book two, I mean, if you liked part one, part two, it's more to me hard hitting, and all the characters are going to be, you know, featured quite a bit more. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you're bringing up the women's characterizations, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in that way, that you're talking about these ladies, and that's amazing. Yeah. That's what I like about talk shows, is that in almost every interview that I've listened to, it seems like every author gets some insight from, you know, what you're talking about, you know. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to experience tonight.
Okay. I'm glad. Because I feel like this book is just so, it was so amazing. It was so relaxing. And I love the fact that this is like a historical.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and I'm going to say, I'm a Beverly Jenkins fan.
Mm-hmm.
So she writes a lot of historical books.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, wow, this is another author. I have to read more of her books.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know, I always feel like, oh, my gosh, where have I been? Like, I've lost so much time. Like, you know, like the book is going to disappear. So I'm like, oh, so I have to buy more of her books, and I have to find time to read them. Like, the books are going to disappear. The books are not going nowhere. They're in writing. But I
yep,
feel like
they're waiting
I'm,
for you.
Right. I feel like I'm so behind. Because your characters are, I've read Westerns
mm-hmm.
by other authors, and I've read Westerns by non-authors of color. And the women usually are seeming so weak, or their characters are so different. And it shows that, or we're shown to be so weak, and we're shown to be so ladylike, and we're not.
Mm-hmm.
These are single women who are out there in the middle of nowhere, in this town that's out of control, because it's being overrun by gangs. And you would say, in today's day, you would say gangs. It's being overrun by gunslingers, bank robbers, and bullies.
You know, people just come in thinking they can do anything they want to you.
Exactly. Open market here. And you don't make these women victims. Even when Veronica is kidnapped and held as bait for Cain, you have her still be strong. She still tries to escape. She's not going to eat. She's not going to do certain things. And she's not going to sit there and cry.
Right.
She's thinking the fork can be a weapon. You know, she's fighting back. She's, you know, she's saying what she has to say. And she said, I don't know if I have that kind of love, but she says, I don't care what you do to me as long as he lives.
Right.
I don't think I have, I haven't loved that hard yet. I don't know if I want to, but it's good to read about.
Right. Exactly. Well, see, that's,
See, that's
you know,
what you
want to
read about.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, that's romance.
Yeah.
I've been told that because I don't put a lot of explicit sex in my books that I don't know what romance is. Well, erotica to me isn't romance. Erotica is erotica, you know? So when you have characters who speak from their soul or do things where you say, oh, gee, you know, he really loves her or he really cares about this, you know, he's going to give up this for her, to me that's romance, you know. That's love.
There is erotica, there is sex, there is romance. Do we have books that have all of it? Yes. Do we have books that show just romance? Yes. I mean, there is a whole market out here now of Amish romance novels.
Yeah, exactly.
And those Amish books,
there's
no sex. I haven't read any either. I have a couple on my Kindle, but I haven't read them. But there's no sex at all. And there's a whole market. It started off with maybe two or three books. Now Harlequin has a series. There's like millions of books out there. So
books that previously they say wouldn't sell.
Yeah. People say, oh, nobody's going to read a book with no sex. People are not going to read a book with Amish people. Those books are selling like hotcakes.
Exactly.
So when people tell you, oh, it's not going to be, I always say it. Yes, I read everything on this show.
Yes.
Everything. I like everything. But I will tell authors, sometimes it's nice to just read a book about good old-fashioned romance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's good to read a book about good old-fashioned erotica.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's what you have in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can have too much. Sometimes you cannot have enough.
Mm-hmm.
You give us romance. You show us old-fashioned romance. I always tell people, I like the books where maybe the girl, the main character, the virgin,
mm-hmm.
and she's just experiencing sex. But I also like the books where, you know what, the women do have some kind of virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And I like
right.
a woman, you know, these women that you have in this book are not afraid of men.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, even though they have every reason to be afraid of men, but they're not. Because
yes.
they have to, because to me, that's being a woman. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
either be a lady or you can be a woman. And to me, a woman is every aspect of femininity, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. You like,
because
you know, people go man
a...
up when you woman up. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Because this could have been so easily the whole she is scared. Because when she first got there, they had this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were basically like, is this to hire her?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this to, and she was like, I'm hired.
Right. She
because
had a
if
letter
I'm not hired, I'm going to go back on my train and I'm getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here while you guys pick me apart
mm-hmm.
and decide what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious your ignorant behinds need a teacher.
And, you
and
gotta
I'm
teach
here
right up in
to
here.
Teacher.
Yeah.
Right. Even the kids came in with the gossip from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, you're not going to last 6 months. And she let them know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. And if you're going to come in here with that trash, and you're going to come in here talking like that, you can go right back home.
Yep.
Because I don't need to teach you either.
Yeah. Yep.
And those same children came to her defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because she showed them she wasn't afraid.
Yep, and she's not going to take any kind of mess, you know.
Yes.
Because Veronica, she you know, she was only 24 when she stepped off that train, but she had done a lot of living
mm-hmm.
from the age of 17, you know. So, she's got quite a bit of, she got a lot of background that I haven't touched on yet.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot more to Veronica than meets the eye. We're going to find that
now,
out in book three.
Now, you tell us book two. Is book two out yet?
Oh, yes. Harvard Outlaw, it's been out, about 2 years now, yeah. See, I published Once an Outlaw back in 12. And
okay.
I published Harvard Outlaw, I think, 13, yeah. Yeah, so they've been out a little while now.
How come I see it on Amazon?
I don't know.
Okay, now
people
like,
sleeping
now
on me.
I see it. Yes, they are. No, because I only see the one. Let me see. Heart of an Outlaw. Oh,
mm-hmm.
You know why? You have a woman on the front. You don't have a cowboy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Heart of an Outlaw. There's a cowboy. He's standing right beside her.
Oh,
he's
in
the white
back.
Hat.
When I look at it now.
Yeah,
and guess
okay.
what? I purchased that one on May 25th also, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
No, May 2016. I think when I discovered you, I bought both books right there.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, you got
I'm
get both
to,
of them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Cool.
I bought them, I guess, on the same day.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, I bought them. That's why I was like, I have to get you on the show. And I saw you, like, advertising somewhere, and I was like, I'm going to inbox her right now. Right now I'm going to inbox her.
Oh, okay.
Before I forget. Yeah, I saw cowboys. I was like, oh yeah. Now, what do we have to expect with part two?
Well, okay, part two. When you know in part one, it Kane becomes the sheriff. He actually becomes sheriff. Mm-hmm. And of all people, Brad's going to be his deputy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, Brad and Kane, you know, they don't really like each other, you know. But
yeah,
they can work well together. So mm-hmm. He agreed to have Brad as his deputy. But what happens is Mark Williams, he's become, what you call it, the thread that's holding everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
Kane and Brad can't stand each other without Mark or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they got each other's back, you know. But, see, they all love the same people, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really, you know, care about each other that much because of Veronica, okay. But anyway, Mark leaves, and then the whole community seems to just fall apart. And Fanny, she does something awful in the book, which
mm-hmm.
causes, it jeopardizes the whole town. And the whole town
wow.
really, literally has to come together in order to survive this ordeal. And Janice does some things that's really stupid, and she just pretty much had Brad's head just messed up. You said you didn't like Janice. Well, you're not going to like her in part two either.
No, I liked her, so I'm not going to like her in part two.
Well, she's going to kind of probably make you a little mad. But,
okay.
But then again, I don't know. She may not. I mean, mm-hmm. I like Janice. A lot of people tell me they don't like her because she's going between two men, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's these two men, you know, who are causing the problems. Gerald has
mm-hmm.
his own ideas about why he's courting her in the first place. And it's
mm-hmm.
not really about love, and I reveal what his real reason is in part two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Fanny, she's been on revenge against the whole town, against Veronica. She blames Veronica for everything, and she meets this other outlaw that comes to town. He's a gambler and a grifter
mm-hmm.
and all that, and Kane wants to run him out of town. Well, he don't want to get ran out of town.
Mm-mm.
So, Kane, you know, he thinks a lady's in distress, he's going to save her. And so
right.
he thinks someone is in distress, and he pretty much he runs McCabe out of town after
mm-hmm.
he beat him up real bad. Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too much away, but anyway, McCabe
right.
swears revenge, you know, because, you know, he loses four of his teeth, and he said for those four teeth, he's going to get four things out of Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And the town, like I said again, you know, oh, and Kane and Veronica, they got married, so, you know, and their marriage
right.
also gets kind of stressed while Mark is gone because of Fanny. You know, she's hanging out with some other woman that came to town, and she
mm-hmm.
does, and she hates Veronica. Okay, but
mm-hmm.
anyhow, the bottom line is that Fanny decides she wants revenge on the Williams family as well as Veronica, but she still wants to maintain a good relationship with Kane, which is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And things between Brad and Kane gets really, really crazy. Brad does something
mm-hmm.
really awful to Kane, and I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to say what it is yet. But anyway, they all have to pull it back together. And
mm-hmm.
I think, okay, again, it's Mark, Kane, and Brad. Everybody in town,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't like them, they know that when Kane, Mark, and Brad are together, they feel good. They know things are going to get taken care of.
Okay.
And at first it seems like Kane may not be able to even participate, but he sucks it all up. He comes back to town, does what he has to do, you know. But anyway, gosh, it's hard to talk about because you don't want to tell too much, you know.
No, but, I'm going to ask you come back in September. Tomorrow, I'm going to inbox you some dates, and you can pick a date, and I'm going to have you come back in September, and we will cover book two. Because we have to do it quick because I don't want to forget what happened, and I want to stay in touch with the story. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let the audience know, the author, Sandra Hall, has over 10 books. Mm-hmm. They're all not mystery. They're not all outlaw and Western books. You have different kinds of books here. You have Just Like My Coffee, My Heart Always Knew, Heart of the Outlaw, that's the outlaw book number two. Once an Outlaw, that's the book we were talking about tonight. Fine Line, Just to See Him Again, Scarlet, Fairlight, The Fairlight Novel, book number one. Wow. Come Into the Light, The Fairlight book novel number three. Cheap Red Wine, Light of the Moon, The Fairlight book number two. And then we have Magic Moons. We also have More Than a Feeling, At the Age of 42, Come Back to Me, Three Days. So the author has quite a few books, and you guys already know how Sapphire does. Once I find you have a lot of books, I just keep on bringing you back until we cover at least half of them. So expect to come back. I want to thank you. I've really, really enjoyed this interview. I really enjoyed the book. I am so glad that we connected. I picked the song Permission tonight because I loved when Cain gave Veronica a kiss. And then she told him, you can kiss me again. And you tell it, you don't have sex, but you say, he started off giving her a peck, but when he saw that she didn't resist, it turned into a full-fledged kiss. And that's what it was like, the song, Give Me Your Permission. When I was listening to it today on my way to work, I was like, this is like, you know, permission. Give me the green light, the song says. And that's what that couple reminded me of.
Oh, okay.
You talked about book three already. How many books are we going to have to this series? And will you be writing more Westerns?
Yes. I know for a fact that the Outlaw series is going to have at least three books. I think I'm going to end the Outlaw series with book three. But I still want to write about the settlement. There are characters in that book that I still want to explore more with. You know, the characters who actually live in Gingerville or Redwater or Fire City. You know, there's one. I'm thinking it's called the Ghost of Jasper Sterling. He's going to actually be a ghost. Okay.
Wow.
Now, I'm thinking that I can do like a little paranormal with that, you know. Not a whole lot, but simply that he's a ghost, okay? And he's going to live in Gingerville, in the settlement, or had lived there. Okay, see. Now, I'm still thinking about it. I'm still working on it. And then there are other, then I was thinking I might do something on Brad. Had him go back outside of the law again. And but I'm not sure though. I'm thinking I might make it somebody else rather than Brad, but it's still going to come out of that community. If not Gingerville, it might be from Redwater or Fox City.
Redwater.
And then I thought too, about the Williamses, you know, originally they came from, you know, the family, the white-sided family, they came from England. You know, they were outlaws in England, but when they came to America, they tried to clean up, you know. And I was thinking, do a little background on Mark as a younger man or something. I don't know. But I'm seeing so much in that, you know, within that settlement, that area, that I don't want to let it go yet, you know.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't want it to get stale using the same characters over and over.
Right.
You know, like Mabel. I think, well, mm-hmm. actually I gave Mabel, I featured her a little bit more in book two than
okay.
just those three chicks who was bothering Veronica. You know, I kind of fleshed
right.
them out in book two. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed writing the Westerns. I mean, I have so much stuff in my mind, you know. It just seemed like
mm-hmm.
I got so much to do. I have another series, the Fairlight series, you know, the Fairlight novels, rather. I got one more book in that one. And then mm-hmm. I got another series in the paranormal. Actually, it's a two-part book. But anyway, I got, you know, I need help, actually. I need an assistant, you know, to keep all this stuff going, you know. Yeah, but, I think my main thing is I need to end my series and start working on other things, you know, more standalone books instead of just series. Because
mm-hmm.
I think I made a mistake starting a paranormal series at the same time that I'm doing a Western series, you know.
Right.
But, I don't know, I might can find that
like
balance
paranormal.
Where...
There's people
huh?
who like paranormal. There's people. There's
mm-hmm.
people who like paranormal. There's people
mm-hmm.
who like Western.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hitting two different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people like me who like both.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, I might mix them together with
mm-hmm.
the Ghost of Jasper Sterling.
Right.
Yeah, my sister, she told me don't do that, but I'm like, I'll give it a shot and see what happens.
So, in our last couple of minutes,
okay.
please tell everyone how they can get your books. Are you on Instagram, Twitter, everything?
Oh, yes, I'm at Twitter. I don't really do very much stuff. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly, for most information about me, the best thing to do is go to my website,
www.link.
Huh?
Can you drop the link to your website on my page?
Sure. Uh huh.
Great.
NovelistSandraHall.com. Sure. Sure will. But everything mainly about me, you know, every link to me is on that website.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, author Sandra Hall, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow so we can have you back on with book number two. I'm excited.
Okay.
And I want to thank the audience for listening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I will be back tomorrow, and we will be back with author Sandra Hall next month, and we will be talking more African-American outlaws.
All righty.
This is so exciting. Good night, everyone, and thank you so much.
Thank you all so much, and good night.
Had a great time. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let your hair hang down, but only if it feels right.
light. With your permission, for you to show me what it's hitting for. Sip a little Jack, maybe blow a little. Love you from behind, but I hate to see you go. Oh, 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 come on, give me that green light. You can let your hair hang down. We're only if it feels right. Oh, oh, oh.